question I have today for you is, how do mercy and truth work together? One covers sin, and the other doesn't want anything to do with sin. So how can these two work together? Now, throughout the Bible, we'll see that they're quite often used in tandem together, and that they actually do, in fact, need each other. If you turn over to Proverbs 16 and verse 6, we will start there. Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So today we are observing the Day of Atonement. And we read here that in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for our sins or for iniquity. But first off, it is not our mercy or our truth. Rather, it is God's. And it is through His mercy that we can come to have knowledge of truth. Now, this knowledge of truth is what enables us to fear God enough to depart from evil or sin. And it is by the fear, or this godly fear, that we should, it should be keeping us from abusing the pardoning of mercy or from returning to wickedness. So first, what I'm going to do is break mercy and truth apart and look at each one separately. So if we look at mercy first, if you turn over to Matthew 9 and verse 10. Matthew 9 and verse 10, he's talking to the Pharisees here, and he says, "Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Now, these were people that weren't liked in society. Tax collectors, I can imagine those people were like. In verse 11, "And the Pharisees saw it, and they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners?' And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But I go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance.'" So we see if we're sinless, that we would have no need for mercy. But because we do sin, we need forgiveness and we need mercy. And this is one facet, but the other facet is that we need to be merciful to our fellow Christians. It is through mercy that we can come to have repentance, that we can come to have atonement. If you turn to Psalms 57 and verse 1. Psalms 57, verse 1 through 3. David here is writing out a psalm, and he says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. And he shall ascend from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who should swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Which brings me to the second part, truth. So what is truth? If you turn to John 14 and verse 6. John 14 verse 6, we will see just what truth is. "And Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you also have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.'" So this way of the truth comes from Christ. Turn to John 8. and verse 31. In verse John 8:31 and 32, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's not just enough to say that, you know the truth, but you actually have to live it. You have to do what the Bible says in order to understand it. There has to be a love for the way of God's life. If you turn to Psalms 119, Psalms 119 and verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your words I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." So when you look at the scriptures that are used, they use the words mercy and truth together, we notice that the word, mercy is always first, and then the word truth. This shows us that we need God's mercy first. We need to show mercy before we can come to understand what truth is. Since you are in the book of Psalms, if you turn to chapter 25 and verse 10. It says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." So once we have mercy from God and receive the truth, we are expected to keep the commandments and the testimonies. From all these scriptures, reminded from Matthew 17, verse 13, and also Luke 13, 24, that we are to walk by a narrow path. That's how we are to enter. We're also told in Ephesians 2:10 that we have good works that we should walk in because God prepares them. So we see that this walk is a continuous one, just as we need mercy to be continuous. If you turn to Proverbs 3, verse 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So when we use mercy and truth together, we will have favor in the sight of both God and man. Also Proverbs 14 and verse 22. Says, do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. So we see we're supposed to be looking towards good always. In fact, those who, aren't looking to good, God says he hates this. If you turn to Hosea 4 and verse 1, see a quick example of this. Hosea 4 and verse 1, and he's writing here, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." So we see that God hates it when there's not any mercy or truth both in the world and in his people. If you turn to Psalms 85 and verse 1. See a psalm here also written by David, dealing with mercy and truth. Psalms 85 and verse 10, and it says, "Mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed." So it shows that there is a tight bond between mercy and truth, and then also between righteousness and peace, and that these, you know, all work together, and that you cannot have one without another. And so it is on this Day of Atonement that we are commanded to appear before God. And we have been called by God's mercy and by his truth. And it is through mercy, as we have seen, that we can have atonement for our sins. We have also been commanded on this day not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. And so as with many other things, you know, our offering has a lot to do with our attitude. There's a great article written in this week's update on that. So let's be thankful and cheerful on this day because we can have atonement for our sins and because we have mercy and truth.